get started. Hi, it's Diane, and I am here with the Noon Group on Tuesday, October 20th. Got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 folks on the call so far. And let's just start with a quick check-in. I know a couple of you are, this is your first call ever, and so we'll let you go last for the first time for a check-in. Check-in is, I'd love to have you celebrate something that's working for you guys. If you've got something that you've been working on for the last week that worked well, or if you've got, you know, something new that you tried or something new that came up at school, just, you know, something a little, we want to start on a little bit of a positive note if we can, but if you're really struggling, then feel free to say that, and then that's a fair check-in, and we'll just go quickly around, and we want bottom line, and if you're new and this is your first call, remind me, or actually everybody, remind me, please, your name, your child's age, and your name and your child's age. That would be helpful. Okay? Did I say this is Diane? I did say this is Diane. Great. Yes. Nancy, can you go first for us and check in?
Sure. So my name's Nancy. I'm from Chicago, but I live in Naples, Florida. I know there's another fellow Floridian on the call. I have two kids. Griffin is 12 in sixth grade. He has ADHD with an auditory processing disorder. And then I have a 9-year-old boy, Grayson, who is neurotypical. The thing I was taking aim at this week was to understand what's getting in Griffin's way with school. He just started sixth grade. And I'm struggling to figure out what to celebrate because one of the things we did last week was met with the teachers, and that went over horribly. I mean, I left there extremely emotional and upset. So, but I have my ducks in a row, and I'm armed with some emails I'm going to be sending out to remind them of, you know, the things that he needs support with in order to make him successful in their classes. Seems like sixth grade has been a culture shock for me. That's going to continue to be my aim this week as well.
Well, so Nancy, I want to celebrate because your son is so fortunate to have a mom who's ready to go to bat and ready to advocate on his behalf and willing to meet with the teachers and have the tough conversations and willing to get support and help for herself. And so I want to celebrate that, and I want to encourage you to celebrate that as well, because sometimes that's
thank you.
What it takes. So, okay, cool. And
thank
so you're
stay in there, Nancy. It's going to get great.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You have to be involved in middle school.
Oh, it's
well, I'm sure they have to be involved all the time.
Right. It's just, it was a little, I guess it was shocking for me because I am used to being in the caring environment of elementary school, and pretty much it was, here's what's wrong with your child, here's what he's doing wrong in the classroom, and then they got up and left. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought we were going to work as a team and figure this out together. And, you know, it was not the warm fuzzy that I expected. But I did get a call from the school, which was good. And the psychologist or his counselor is very concerned and wants to work with me, so I'm excited about that.
Okay, so let's move on in terms of check-ins.
Okay,
I'm happy when we have time for discussion, to continue discussion, but I think one of the things we want to just be careful of is because we've got a group of six today, we want to make sure we're staying as efficient as possible because I want to give everybody a chance. So who else? Thank you for checking in, Nancy. Who's next?
I'll check in. This is Jeannie.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Well, this is on a positive note. My son that's in high school, Micah, he's 16 now, which is, like, incredible. He's 16. One thing that has worked, I heard from another call or something else about ADD, to just to have a regular time for them to organize their binder. So me as mom, I'm doing a binder check with him, and actually I'm rewarding him for it, and he has been organizing his binder on his own. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Another day I went into his room, and it's usually a disaster, and I went out with a friend and came back, and his desktop was clean, and inside it he's a artist. He organized everything, and I almost, like, fell on the ground. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what got into whatever it is, it's great. So he's learning to organize. And I'm
that's
awesome.
So awesome, Jamie.
So
that's
like,
really awesome.
Woo-hoo. awesome.
Okay.
Yes. Money helps.
It's about understanding that you needed a motivator, and we don't always like to use money, but if money works, then sometimes and you can fit it in your budget, sometimes it's the perfect thing to do. So good for you.
That's what I want to ask. Is the reward money? Is that what it was?
Yes, a dollar.
Okay, good.
The other thing, he just organized his room because he couldn't find something, and he pulled everything out, and he organized and found stuff, and I'm like, wow. And that was I was gone the whole day, and he was on his own.
That's
so, awesome. Okay.
I'm so excited.
Martha.
Yeah, I had just joined this last week for the first time, and I did get my workbook, so I was trying to go over that and to try to take aim, and pretty much this week it still fits because it's something to take aim at, is I have a 15-year-old son, and we clash because of our personalities are so similar, our temperaments, and so I have to step back. So I was, this week, I stepped back, and I would kind of prompt him on, hey, it's time to get up, you gotta go to school, hey, it's time, you need to do this, and then leave it. And he either did or did not do it, and I don't think he was that successful this week. But I was proud of myself that I just didn't let it drive me nuts, that I have enough
awesome.
Things to work on myself.
That's awesome. Well, and it's part of it. I mean, we talked about that a little bit before, but when we talk about activating the brain today, we'll talk about the fact that staying calm is sometimes, you know, three-quarters of the battle. So, because it keeps you in problem-solving mode. So you didn't let it get to you, and I think that's a huge step, Martha. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
Hi there. My son is Michael, and he's 14. And I have just noticed that if I'm calm, then he reacts differently. If I'm, you know, getting upset or get short with him, then, you know, he'll get upset and short with me. So now that I'm being more self-aware of that, I need to stand back and look at the situation and act calmly about it, then I get more of a calm reaction from him.
Awesome. Awesome. And I appreciate you sharing that because it's such a lesson for all of us. So, Sue.
Hi, I'm Sue from Seattle, and I did this class last year also. Last week I wasn't able to join in the call, but so it's good to be back in the swing of things here. And I also have a son who's in sixth grade, and it's amazing. But he's going to a kind of small school where there's been a good share of homework, really, in fourth and fifth, so it's kind of helped prepare him that way. But and I guess my celebration is, even though he has this huge heap of homework, that he's getting most all of it done. And that unto itself I'm thrilled about. And I try to just pump him as best I can in regards to that good feeling. That, you know, I try to check to see if he has a good feeling of, like, when we're going to school in the morning and you know that you've got everything done versus going to school and knowing that the science, you know, isn't done or whatever. And to see if you can check in with that to kind of experience that as a positive result of his hard work. And it's coming. It's slow, but it's coming. And my one concern about all of this is what our relationship will be at the end of the school year, because I'm the one who does most of the homework help, not all of it, but most of it. And so that is something I really want to keep tabs on this year and figure out how to handle it smoothly.
It does. And I think that what you notice, it sounds like, is that it's, you know, there's two layers of the challenge. One is the practical challenge, which is how to help him, you know, complete the assignment or work on the homework or whatever it is. And then the other is kind of what's the underlying impact that how you handle that has on your relationship. And I think what I hear more and more from clients is they focus on the problem at hand, but what they really want is to preserve the relationship. So it's great that you're calling it out.
Yeah, I'm interested in the short term, but I'm also interested in the long term effect of this, and to make sure it doesn't goof us up, because after sixth grade, there's seventh grade, and then it just goes and goes. So I want to make sure that we can keep our relationship where it is now, because it's pretty good. So and I don't want something like homework, which isn't trivial but isn't the most important thing in life, but I don't want that to be something that ruins our relationship or how we handle it. So,
great. So we practiced taking aim last week. Sue, do you want to just quickly say where you want to, if you want to continue to take aim where you were before, or do you have a new place that you want to take aim?
Well, I think something, just keying in with what I just talked about, I think me being able to stay as positive as possible when working with Gabe in regards to homework would be a good thing for me to just get back in that groove.
Great. All right, Cindy, I see you joined us. Hi.
Hi, I was trying to turn you off mute.
No. You want to do a quick check-in?
I don't have anything. I know I talked about cleaning the cat litter box last week, but I haven't followed up on that because it just hasn't been a priority. I don't feel like I want to add that till I get a little better.
Is there something you want to? Is there something you want to celebrate from this last week, whether it's related to the cat litter box or not?
Well, my daughter is taking more ownership of her homework. And that's good to see. It's making us nervous, but it's good to see.
Well, and I think that's the thing, is that as they get older, we want it to become more of their responsibility and less of ours. And it's a hard thing to let go of. And but it's great that you notice it. So I'll loop back to Marianne, who's with us the first time this week, and. Just a quick check-in, who you are, where you live, and the age of your child or children. And then everybody kind of just shared a celebration this week, if you don't mind sharing the same thing.
Okay. I live in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I've got two children. I've got an almost 10-year-old. He'll be 10 next month. And then my ADD child is my firstborn, and he is going to be 13 in February. He's a seventh grader. They're both in a smaller private school that we chose, really basically on purpose so that we could have lots of contact with the educational system, as we went through this path. I think the biggest thing is, we have seen some real maturing out of my first Derek between sixth and seventh grade. He survived sixth, and he actually went into middle school at fifth grade. So we had the big transition then. But last year was a big struggle because we were adding in competitive sports for the school at that age in sixth grade. And, there were times when the grades and the homework took the nosedive, and it was very frustrating for him and for us. And so I think this year, giving him more ownership and actually seeing him rise to that challenge has been something to celebrate. I'll give a specific example from this last week. He has a big science fair project, and it's done in steps. And he had a lot of feedback between one step and the step that was due this week over the weekend. And at one point, he just told us to back off, that he had it, that he knew what to do to address the teacher's concerns and get it done. And, it was really great to see him recognize that he could take control of it and complete the next assignment really without us kind of helicoptering over him. And it was fantastic. So that was a good thing this week. We'll see, next week basketball practice starts, and I'm going to probably have new challenges around that with the time constraints. But that's it.
Awesome. Well, that is something to celebrate. And I think that it feels like a little thing, but it's what we know in coaching is that if you focus on the success, it helps for more success. Success grows successes, the quote that we like to give. So it's interesting. So I'm going to loop back around just really quickly, because last week we talked about the idea of taking aim. And I think those of you who didn't listen, Marianne, this is going to be a new thing for you, so I'm going to give you a break and let you go last. But Sue, you know how to do this. Let's just quickly take aim, and I'm going to challenge you to, last week we talked about the fact that taking aim needs to be very specific. We need to focus on the problem, not the solution, and we need to get as specific as possible. So let's just quickly go around and bottom line where you're taking aim. And Nancy, you were talking about something specifically, but I want to challenge you to put it in words.
I'm
sorry, I think you might have said my name and I was unmuting, so I didn't hear you.
Nancy, you alluded to what you wanted to take aim on, and I'm going to challenge you to go back and bottom line it for me.
So I'm going to continue to take aim on understanding what's getting in Griffin's way at school.
Okay.
I've peeled the onion a little bit. I think there's more onion to be peeled, so I'm just going to keep focusing on one thing at a time, and we haven't resolved this yet, so that's my aim.
Okay. Martha?
I guess that the thing that comes to mind is finding one or two times a week that my son and I just take a break and have time together to communicate, because the communication needs a lot of work.
Okay. Great. Jeannie?
I don't know how to – Ryan, my 13-year-old, now 13-year-old who just turned 13, blames me for everything. He doesn't take responsibility. If he forgets something or doesn't do something in the house or school or whatever, it's my fault. And I don't know how to bottom him on that. He just doesn't take responsibility. So help him be responsible. If you want to bottom line that way, I don't know.
Okay. So you'd like to see him take more responsibility. Is there a particular time of day or a particular task where he tends to be more finger-pointy?
Honestly, it could be anything. It could be I woke up late because of you, Mom. You didn't wake me up, which doesn't happen.
They tried for three. You tried.
I know, it's just everything. You know, I forgot to, you know, write down my homework assignments because you got made me upset. I mean, he just doesn't take responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this?
I get it. That makes sense, Jeannie. So I'm gonna shortcut you, and I'm gonna. No, I appreciate it. And so the tool we're not talking about today, but that I'm gonna remind people that the step after taking aim is to educate and get curious. And one of the things around defensiveness or blaming in our kids is that it really is often a defense mechanism. And so a lot of times it's a sign that they're either getting triggered or they're already triggered. You know, we talk about triggers and the fact that we go to fight or flight and we kind of shut down and we aren't problem solving. Before we get to fight or flight, we go to either offensive or defensive mode as a way to handle, oh my gosh, this is, I don't, you know, it's this avoidance sort of thing. It's like, I don't want to feel the pressure. I'm getting triggered. And so it's a pretty normal reaction, particularly with our ADHD kids. And so I think that, I think it's a great place to take aim, Jeannie. I think that it's the thing I'm going to challenge you to do is to really kind of get compassionate. And she's not a newbie here, so I'm going to push Jeannie a little bit harder here.
Get
into that place of compassion and really be willing to consider it's really hard for him to take responsibility and what are maybe some baby steps as you look at this, rather than he shouldn't say it's your fault I didn't get up, because he's going to say it's your fault I didn't get up. I mean, I have a 16-year-old who tries to take responsibility for everything because he wants to own the world, right? But it's still my fault when he doesn't know how to fix it. And that's really it's more than anything else, is a defense mechanism. So I think it's a great place to take aim, Jeannie.
Okay.
Rebecca, you were talking about staying calm. Do you want to stay there or where do you want to go?
Yeah, well, my issue kind of was also with Michael not being able to track time, and I have now just accepted that and realized that the time issue has to be done with both of us, in the sense that when he's heading out the door, I just need to say, okay, you got 15 minutes, and when it's down to 10 minutes, tell him it's 10 minutes. When it's down to 5 minutes, tell him that it's down to 5 minutes, and that seems to be working. I mean,
awesome.
It's not something that I'm used to doing, but it's just something that I need to accept and just do it.
So do you want to continue to work on time management, getting out the door in the morning, or do you want to shift to something else because you feel like you've got a solution here?
I guess probably shift to something else because I think I got that. I guess my thing is with his lying. My other two children, and of course they don't have ADHD or have any issues like that, but he finds it so easily to lie, and I guess
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why it's so easy to lie.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Sue.
I think what I want to do is stick with kind of what I was talking about with the taking aim, but to get really, I can't think of the word right now, but so to take aim, I mean to stick with staying as positive as possible with my son during homework time, and to kind of help instill that effect of how good it can feel when you do have it done. And so for me, making sure I'm being positive and actually keeping like little marks, you know, I have a little piece of paper at my side, marks, and to make sure that my face is positive too, since he's such a visual kid.
So I'm gonna encourage you to stay with the challenge, not the solution, because celebrating the successes and keeping a positive face are great tools that you might want to use. But what the problem is I heard is you want to take aim on staying positive during homework time, which is a challenge area for you. Is that fair?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, great. Cindy, more ownership of homework. Do we want to take that further?
Well, I don't know how to take it further. She's taking ownership, but she's not necessarily getting it done. And so it's hard to stand by and watch it happen.
Okay, so where do you want to take aim?
I guess I would like to get a little more curious when she's sitting there theoretically doing homework and nothing's getting done. I guess the thing to do would be to just get curious about what's going on with her when an evening goes by like that.
So taking aim is the step before getting curious. So we're taking aim on, is she getting stuck in homework? Is she getting distracted during homework? Do you know yet? Or it's just she's having a hard time completing homework?
Probably the latter. I mean, all of those. I mean, I guess having a hard time completing it consists of having difficulty getting started and pushing herself when it gets difficult. I mean, I feel like all of that goes on.
Well, and so there's two pieces of it. So it's getting started, which is one, initiation is one executive function. And then the other is sustaining, which is a different executive function, but still an executive function. So do you want to focus, you want to take aim on getting started or on sustaining?
I would say on sustaining. That is more often an issue.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So, Marianne, I'm going to loop back to you real quick. So taking aim, and hopefully you had a chance to either read through our model or you've watched the video where we talk about the parenting action model. But the first step is taking aim, and we want to pick one challenge area as the macro, but then we're going to drill in, which is what everybody just did, was on a micro level, what area are you focusing in on as we have our conversation today? And again, you want to pick one thing, and you want to have it be a challenge or a problem rather than a solution. So does the concept of taking aim make sense to you enough at this point to do that, Marianne?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
One issue we're having right now is that Derek is having a very big lack of motivation for getting out of the bed in the morning and trying to figure out, I want to take aim this week and try to figure out how we might work with him on some solutions to that issue.
Great. Okay, that's very good. And so it's leaving the word motivation is, you know, getting him a motivator could be a solution potentially, and it's probably your instinct is probably strong that that's maybe the best solution for you to focus in on. But so stay as much as you can on the top end of that, which is helping him to get out of bed in a more timely fashion in the morning. Does that make
Correct.
Sense?
Correct.
Okay, great. Okay. Did I miss anybody or did anybody, let me go back and see, did anybody new join us? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Still got the same 7. Did I get everybody to take a name? Awesome.
Yeah.
So the next thing we do, and let me just kind of, I didn't at the beginning of this call walk you through, we check in, we take aim, I teach a little bit, we talk about what I teach, we do some laser coaching as we have time, and then we all check out using the questions that are in the workbook. So if you haven't gotten access to the workbook, be sure to send us a note or something, and I'll make sure that you get it. But we are, this week, we're on page Activating the Brain is on page 14 of the workbook. And activating the brain is one of the 4 critical response areas. If we go back to the model, we take aim, we get curious, and we educate, and we learn what we can about what's going on in the brain, what's going on in the environment, what's going on for our kids, what's going on for us, and then we plan. And so we're shortcutting here, and we're going to jump into the four areas where you might take action that you're planning for, and they're activate the brain, parent positively, shifting expectations, and systems and structures. And so for the next 4 calls, we're going to go over each of those in a high level. And this week we're going to talk about activating the brain. And activating the brain is really important, not just for ADDers or other kids with learning differences. It's also important for everybody. It really does help us to operate on all cylinders. It regulates our mood. And if we've got ADHD, it's what really helps our brain to work effectively, because if you've got ADHD, you've got some challenges in terms of how the neurobiology of the brain works. So there's lots of different things that people do to activate the brain. Medication is something that fits into this category. So if your child is on medication of any sort, that might be one way that you're activating the brain. Exercise, diet, some people do things like brain training. Even just getting enough sleep and water, some of those basic sorts of things, meditation, mindfulness, some of these other things. But what we're talking about here is really understanding that our brain is biologically impacted by what goes on for us every day, whether it's the ADHD or our stress or whatever else. And it's about considering getting support for that brain. So if you're not ADHD, this might be making sure you get enough sleep so that you're less likely to get triggered and can stay more problem-solving parent than reactive parent. If you're ADHD, this might be getting enough exercise or taking medication on a regular basis so that your brain is operating on all cylinders. So it's important for all of us. And what it does is it really helps us to use as much executive function as possible. And so we know that ADHD is a brain-based challenge that impacts the area that handles executive function. And there's a whole section in the workbook, and if you haven't listened to it already, there's a great webinar that we did that explains the different parts of executive function and what some of the challenges are. But, you know, the reality is that executive function is what helps you do everything you need to do. So I know what I want to do. The executive function helps me to actually get it done. And in the ADHD brain, there's some real disconnects between those two parts of the brain. And so activating the brain helps you to do what you want to do or helps you to do what you know you want to do. And so if your child has a difficult time with impulse control and knows that they should be quiet in class but tends to blurt out, that's an executive function challenge. And activating your child's brain will not fix that necessarily, but it will help them to more effectively manage that if their brain is activated. So that's why brain activation is important. And so I'll stop there and hear what you guys have to say about brain activation, what works, what you've tried, what you've thought about trying, that sort of stuff.
Well, this is Jeannie. Both my boys do have ADD. I've tried every kind of supplement under the rainbow. I went to a specialized clinic, Amen Clinic in Bellevue, Washington. work on him. My son had ADD. I thought he just had Asperger's. He's both. Lenny, how I tried everything. I spent tons and tons of money on natural medication. It did not work. Did not work, and that's the route I really wanted to go because that's, I'm going to have everything natural and healthy. So it was very hard for me to put them on medication. My son, Micah, I think medication works for him. I don't really see it at home as much. But at school, he says he is, but he's not. I don't think he's really in tune with his body to say it does or it doesn't. Ryan hates medication. I don't know, and he kind of refuses a lot to take it because he's not hungry at all for lunch. But he says it does, you know, it does work at school. I don't see it working at home at all, honestly, at all. But he says it keeps him more on track at school. At home, not as much. So we do that route, and they eat very healthy. I don't have additives, preservatives, nothing, no junk in their diet whatsoever. They try to get enough sleep. You know, my old one doesn't sleep as much. Ryan knows he needs a lot of sleep, so he's very in tune with his body. So I've tried everything, you know, they water, they eat well. So I've tried every standard sense. We're trying to be as balanced as we can to activate their brain. And that's what the best route that I've done.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Sure.
Other questions or thoughts or comments on activating the brain?
Well, this is Martha, and the thing that for this particular area that I know in my son's history that would come as close to like taking aim and focusing on it was he was part of a program, and the first, you know, for like an hour program, and the first part was stimulating, and so then they were, you know, they gave us things to start with him in the morning, and there was an audio tape that he should listen to or CD, and then smells in little, you know, just little different cotton balls of different scents that would stimulate his nose, and it really worked. Like, and then there was a touch, something that he was to touch, and it just something for each one of his senses to wake them up in the morning, and it took about 20 to 30 minutes. So when he was no longer with that program, and even when he was during the program, he wouldn't stay consistent with him because back to the, they want to sleep every second they can get away with in the morning. So, but I did see a big difference and have been thinking about reinstating that in his routine because it just kind of woke him up better to function.
Yeah, so you're saying that the stimulation, they were using actual stimulation, physical
mm-hmm.
stimulation and mental stimulation as a way to activate the brain. Great addition to the list. Thank you for that.
This is Nancy. We tried something similar, which I don't know if anybody's heard of brain balance, but we did two rounds of brain balance.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, and as you have noticed, we did two rounds, so at a very large expense, because it really
mm-hmm.
was working. Unfortunately, the further you get away from the program, after
mm-hmm.
they complete the program, it essentially wears off. And for me, it was impossible to keep up with the, you know, exercise. Like you said, it took a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do all of that, plus the exercises, plus all the things that they tell you you have to do in order to get it to, quote-unquote, stick for,
mm-hmm.
you know, and do it, I think they told us for like a year, it was impossible. I could not work. It was would have been a full-time job for me to keep up with that. So that was when he was younger, before we tried medication. So
part of what
I'm
hearing you say, yeah, so if I can just interrupt for a second, you know, one of the things that is important is that as you try some of this stuff, it has to be easy enough for you guys to do. And for some families, it is easy, and some families, it's not. For some people, diet is really hard to try to figure out how to be on a particular diet. For other people, it's like, you know what, we can eat, you know, fish oil, or we can do whatever, and it works for us. And so I think that's, you know, my challenge to all of you is you want to find something that's easy enough for you to try, because it's hard to stick with something if it's really difficult.
Detailed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The one thing that we have found has worked is when Griffin gets exercise. So it just seems to help him to focus. So we try to do some sort of physical activity before, let's say, homework starts, or he's tasked with having to do something that requires more focus and concentration. And that's usually, you know, he has medication during the day, which he tells us when he feels like he needs a different dosage, that his medicine isn't working. He's mm-hmm. totally in tune in school when it's not working. But at home, by then, the medication's worn off by the end of the day, so we have to have other strategies to keep him focused for his tutoring and his homework. So we do find that exercise does help.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah,
all right. Go ahead.
No, as far as the medications, I just saw that it had to do something a little different because he would get medicine, then he would get a booster at lunch because it would help him through that after lunch part of the day, and then he might still be stimulated. So then at night he would have to take a medicine to calm him back down, and I thought, that's crazy. I'm not going to just, you know, you drug him up and then you got to give him drugs to get it down off of the high or the focus you put him on. So I definitely, that's when I just had issues with the medication.
Well, and so what I would say about medication generally is that it's really important that they are on the right medication. And so
mm-hmm.
typically, if your child is having a hard time finding the right level, it's really important to work with someone who's expert in ADHD. Because you wanna have that balance where they have, you know, they have efficacy is the technical word, but it's like it's effective as long as you meet as it can be. But like Jeannie was saying, that it wears out at the end of the day, and so he doesn't have it at home. But then the question is, what, you know, if you give him a booster, then what's the booster and how many milligrams is it? So that you want the booster to be at the right time. I mean, I noticed last night I forgot to remind my son to take his booster. And it was 7 o'clock before he took his booster, and so it's 11 o'clock, and he's sitting there on my bed watching a movie because he's not tired, and I'm like falling asleep. And it was, but it was because he took his booster an hour later than normal, you know. And so it's that sort of thing that it's really important to work with someone, and it doesn't happen overnight. It's really, if somebody tells me, oh, I tried medication and it didn't work. And they want to try to find a solution. I think that's it's so easy to just say yes, no, and that's really not the case. There's lots of different options, and there's a lot of work that potentially needs to be done to make sure that it's the right level of medication.
Right. So we managed to put it in a format in the morning with the extended release that they have, and that way he doesn't take anything until it's bedtime. For that, so that's been a tremendous difference. And then I also have some medicines for the ADHD, and I just last week had to go and tell her, you know, about how I felt in the day and this sort of thing. So we switched all my stimulant to the morning and then my relaxers in the afternoon, because it was also for me not being able to calm down or get restful at night, then I'd be up way too late.
Yep, great. Okay. Any other kind of just general conversation about activating the brain? Any questions about activating the brain or how to do it?
Well, I've got a question.
Oh, I heard two people at once. Somebody said, I have a question. Who is that?
That was Sue here. Real quick, but it's this. So for activating the brain, is something like massage or pressure on your child's body, is that going to be something that activates or that calms down? Because I noticed that with my son, it really helps just kind of key him back into what needs to be tackled at that moment. You know, it just helps.
Right.
Focus
no, that,
a
that makes
bit.
Sense. And so when we say activating the brain, it's not always stimulating the brain. It's just it's working with the brain. And so because our kid's brain doesn't get enough dopamine, there are activities like exercise and medication and with some people with caffeine works and some of these other things that actually stimulate the brain, stimulation, somebody mentioned earlier, that stimulate the brain. Other times with our kids, particularly if they have emotional intensity as one of their challenges, they need help calming. So physical touch, deep breathing, you know, petting a pet, you know, petting a cat, you know, those sorts of things. So those sorts of calming activities can be a great kind of pseudo-activating the brain. It's a, just a different way to activate the brain, but you're activating a different part of the brain, which is the part of the brain that helps you to stay calm, which helps you to stay focused if your brain is going a million miles an hour and you're yeah. feeling overwhelmed. Does that resonate?
That does. That does. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Sue. Who else? Somebody else?
This is Cindy, and I'm looking at the workbook on page 15 where you talk about a number of different approaches to engage the brain, to activate the brain, and I guess I can do all the research I want on a number of different approaches to activate the brain, but I'm having a real hard time getting my teenage daughter to have any interest in any of it. Her eating habits are very poor. She doesn't eat the meals we prepare. She eats right before bed, you know, and we've tried various ways to get her interested in exercise, and she's not expressed any interest in doing that.
Well, it's hard because it's at some point they begin to get buy-in and they see the value of it. I mean, I think about my son 16, and there was a very distinct point at which he would get upset if he forgot his pills and want to, like, we got halfway down the driveway and he's like, oh, wait, I forgot my pills, and he would run back for them because even though he didn't want to admit that they were helping him, they were really helping him. But there was a buy-in sort of thing. I mean, it's the same thing with exercise. And part, one of the challenges with exercise is those of you who have ever tried to get into an exercise routine is that it's not, it's like a habit. It's hard to get into that routine. What I would tell you is that, you know, continue to try to get buy-in, have external conversations with them about what they notice. You know, so if you see that they had been particularly focused, motivation is another, we didn't talk about this, but motivation is another way to activate the brain is if your child has a motivator, it actually does stimulate the brain to get it to be more efficient and effective. But if you can say, wow, I noticed you were really more able to focus today on your math assignment, what do you think was different? You know, and just kind of that celebrating successes and having a conversation, or can I tell you what I noticed, or you know, just becoming more conscious and aware with them can help. And the other thing I would say is that a lot of times I would coach families to put a house rule in place around brain activation. And so it might be everybody has to take their medication every day, and that's just a family rule. Mom takes her vitamins, dad takes his antidepressants, kids take their ADHD meds, or you take your fish oil or whatever it is. And everybody has that house rule. You might have a house rule around, we do at our house, around eating protein at every meal, so that it's just, it's what we do and it's part of the rule. And maybe you motivate compliance with the house rule. And so it's kind of like, if you follow the house rules, then that's what you do to get your allowance. Or if you follow the house rules, then you get a reward at the end of the week. But, you know, so that you're until you get their buy-in, you're being a little bit more, what's the word, where you're requiring it, you know, you're just making it a, this is what we all do, and you all comply with it. Does that resonate for you?
Yes, that is helpful. Can you say a little more about, you said motivators do activate the brain. Can you say a little more about what motivators?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for doing that, and I need to remember to mention motivation. So the ADHD brain does not have what I call the just get it done button. And so if the ADHD brain is not genuinely interested in something, it's almost impossible for it to accomplish it. So those of us who are not ADHD, it's like if we've got to do something that's boring or something we don't like to do or something that somebody else is making us do that we'd really rather prefer not to do it, we just kind of kick in and go, okay, this totally stinks, but I'm going to just get it done. And it really is biologically difficult for the ADHD brain to do that. So they have to have some kind of genuine interest in something in order to make it happen. So that's why motivation becomes so critical. Either they have to eventually develop internal motivators, or until they do, we have to help our kids to develop external motivators like rewards and consequences and those sorts of things to help them to actually accomplish things. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and we're going to spend a whole week talking specifically about motivation. That's one of the key topics that we talk about because we talk about it a lot, but I appreciate it because it fits in with this idea of activating the brain. Okay, so let me look at the time here. So we've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to give everybody a chance to kind of check out. And so while I'm going to do some laser coaching, but I'll do one round of laser coaching, but I also want you guys, as you're thinking about it, to kind of start looking at the wrap-up questions on page 16, because we're all going to want to check out and really kind of highlight, you know, what was the takeaway or aha you had today, and then what's the realistic action step you want to commit to. So look on page 16 and you know, start to kind of think and process as you're listening to laser coaching those four questions. So do I have somebody who wants to volunteer to get just a 5-minute quick coaching on a particular area? Nobody, you're all fine? This is awesome. Woo! I don't believe you. Or maybe you think it'll take more than 5 minutes. I'm pretty good. I don't know.
Diane, this is Marianne. I had a question on this activating the brain concept from a cognitive behavioral standpoint. Are there any particular recommendations around that? We're in the stage of trying to find the right medicine and the buy-in from our adolescent for taking it, because the first two really caused some unusual behaviors for him, and he got afraid. And so we're back at step one with just doing cognitive behavioral things right now. And if you have anything in particular that you could suggest as a technique, that would be great. And I'll leave it at that. That's open-ended. I'm sorry that it's so broad.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that. And so part of that ties back into the motivation piece of it. So it's you know, one of the features of cognitive behavioral therapy is that you try to connect into something that is more motivating or more appealing for the brain. And so I think that part of the challenge with a teenager is finding things that get their buy-in and helping them to see where they have control. What is there a particular area you were talking about, motivation to get out of bed? I think that, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing. The other thing is just knowing, you know, he tends to have that irritability, you know, and he has a very short wick for that, you know, which I know, you know, some of the focus pieces, you know, of taking medications, so some of that would probably be helped, some of it may not be, but the irritability thing, he gets very annoyed very quickly, for example, and if there's something, for example, that might be helpful.
So I think the thing that's kind of coming to me is around just even self-awareness, and the tool, and I don't know if I talked about this last week, you weren't on, but that I like to teach is mirroring. And mirroring is just simply about, you know, pretending that you're the mirror. And so without judgment, you want to share with your child what you see. So it's kind of like, dude, I noticed it was really hard for you to get up this morning. What's up? And, you know, just kind of literally just sharing what you see, because a lot of times they aren't even aware of what, so the irritability, wow, I can tell that you're really feeling out of sorts right now. What's up? You know, and it's a great way to acknowledge and validate for our kids, which is a key thing that really helps kind of set the stage for any kind of change, is feeling like somebody gets me. But then
what
the other thing is just kind of – go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. What do you do when all they say is, I don't know? That's the answer for trying to have those conversations.
Well, and the reality is that they may not know. And that,
right.
And
I mean,
that
this is
okay.
Marianne. I mean, one of the things that we found is a challenge with Derek is he has a hard time naming what his feeling is, right? So, you know, he can be angry, but he may not be able to name why he's angry, right? So that mirroring technique may help us help define why he's getting angry, annoyed, irritable about a certain situation, you know. That may help, so.
Yeah, no, there's several steps to it. So the other thing about I don't know is sometimes they really don't know. And so it's about helping them to begin to see and uncover patterns and observe, again, without judgment is the important thing. The other thing is I don't know sometimes is I really don't want to engage in this conversation right now. And so sometimes you say, oh, okay, I get it. Why don't you think about it and let's talk about it tomorrow and see if you can come up with a couple ideas. You know, but it seems that the reality is a lot of times they don't know what the question is. What's up is different than why. And so I think I'm really cautious about encouraging parents not to use why did you do that, because they usually don't know. I mean, somebody was talking earlier about lying. There's a great article on the website, a couple great articles on a website about lying and about the biology behind why our kids lie. Because there are some real, real normal things that happen. Because yesterday, it happened at our house, right? My daughter swears that she did this chore. Oh, she swears that she vacuumed. She sat there and had a 10-minute discussion with me about how she knew she had vacuumed. And I was sitting there looking, and I'm like, I know that you haven't vacuumed. My son is like, the vacuum's in the exact same place as it was last Thursday. There's no way you actually vacuumed. But she remembered very explicitly vacuuming, but it was because she has a working memory challenge, and vacuuming last Saturday feels just the same as vacuuming this Saturday, and she literally did not remember that she hadn't already done it. And so she wasn't trying to avoid it. She literally was convinced that she had done it. And sometimes that sort of stuff happens. So it's about, you know, there's some brain stuff here. There's some mirroring stuff here, and I want to loop back to Marianne, is this resonating and helpful for you?
Yeah, that does help quite a bit, actually.
Okay. So I want to get us to our closing questions. So if you guys have been taking notes or making some notes, we're on page 16. The four questions are, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So I'd love to hear from all of you, just a quick bottom line, you know, one aha that you had and what your action is going to be from here. Nancy, can I pick on you?
Okay. can you hear me? I want to make sure I'm off mute.
Yes, you are.
Okay, good. Sometimes I cannot tell. So I'm going to continue to take aim on the school issues and understanding what's getting in his way. And my next focus is to focus back on the teachers and get to the bottom of how we can help him.
So your aha and your action.
You know, I don't think I really had an aha today. I think, I guess the last little piece of the conversation was an aha for me, because I was the one that said, what do you do when he says, I don't know, when you try to have a conversation about what's going on, and that's pretty much his answer for everything. School, what's going on, why is this, you know, what do you think is happening, I don't know. So I think the aha is maybe he really doesn't know. And maybe it's more probing questions or, you know, I don't want to give him the answer. So that's the thing I struggle with. I want him to come up with it on his own, but maybe he can't.
And I think that's something to think about. It's kind of, you know, and if I was going to coach you for a few more minutes about it, it would be kind of, what is it about not telling him that's important to you, and how can you solve that in a different way? So just something to think about.
Okay.
Martha.
Okay. I think that during this time, I'm trying to think of who it was, that their child sounded a lot like mine. Oh, okay. It was Nancy, and she was saying that.
Yeah.
Griffin. I just called my son from early on, he was the great mutator, because anything you had working, he would just find a way to just mutate around it where it didn't work anymore. You know, he would just not, he'd just lose interest. So we were through the cognitive stage, like his kindergarten teacher was the one that said, I think he has an issue. And I was like, here we go. My son's in school. So
can I run out to, so let's
wrap it up. I'm going to explore, and the aha was trying more effort with exercise and see how exercise will, if that will help him.
Great. Okay. Jeannie.
My aha moment was when you said, you know, which I knew, he's feeling defensive and something's triggering him. And, you know, that was just like, okay, I kind of know that. But when you said that, to be more patient and compassionate, I'm like, I think I am pretty patient. I'm pretty compassionate towards him. My husband is not at all, and he is the one with ADD, which is kind of more rare that he's not. So I think those aha moments with, like, both of them, just more compassionate, even though he's still blaming me for everything and not his dad for anything. And I know I just need to be more mindful that he does have ADD, and this is not intentional. He's not out to get me, you know.
It's hard not to take it personally, Jeannie.
Yeah.
I mean,
your
reaction is really normal, because especially they're kind of attacking you. So it feels very, very personal. And at the same time, it's probably really not. So
we need
thick skin as parents of ADHD kids. So, Rebecca, what about you?
I guess going back to a little bit where I think Nancy was talking about that she would, you know, ask him why, and he said he didn't know. So I'm going to try, you know that you said he really didn't, that they probably really don't know. So I'm going to just take it at that and then maybe just mention to him, asking about him later, which in turn goes back to, you know, the lying of maybe later asking him why did he lie about that, and not asking him or not saying at the moment that you're lying or why are you lying, just maybe just ask him about it later.
Well, and my guess is, honestly, even later, he's not going to know why. I mean, I think that's so the question is, what do you really want to do in that moment is figure out what possible reasons he might have for lying and address them rather than trying to get him to say it. And so I'd encourage you to go back and read those articles on the site about lying, and it hopefully will give you a few ideas.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, where exactly that was.
So if you go to – so if you said the best thing, Rebecca, send me an email and I'll post them out in the group. So I'm just
okay,
Diane
sure.
at impactadhd.com, and that'll remind me to post it.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Diane, when you say you're going to post it in the group, where do we find that?
On Facebook.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sue, did I call you yet? No.
No, not yet. Yeah, I think the aha for me was this whole mirroring technique, which we've been using with my son because of his use of intonation that just sends the wrong message again and again and again. And so to be and dealing with when he also says he doesn't know, that he truly may not know. I mean, I feel like a wicked mom by saying that, but so often when he says that, it feels like it's, I don't feel like talking like this right now. And if we don't talk about it right now, it probably isn't going to be discussed. So that's kind of a bunch of things. But the aha was, if he says he doesn't know, that he may actually not know. And that's okay. And then the mirroring was also kind of the struggle of naming the emotion.
Yeah.
That was kind of
so the thing that I would just throw in on what you just said, though, Sue, is that a lot of times if it's not the right time to talk about it, it's because somebody's triggered or close to being triggered, whether it's you or them. And so it may feel like, oh, my gosh, we got to talk about this now or we'll never talk about it. And it may also be completely ineffective to talk about it now if one of you is triggered. So just notice and pay attention to that and be willing to consider that, you know, I always call them Saturday morning at Waffle House conversations, you know, so sometimes when there's no pressure is the best time to have the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm seeing that too. So okay, that's a good reminder. Thanks.
Cindy.
So there were a number of things. The idea of mirroring when there's a lot of emotion coming at me without judgment is something that I want to try and do more of. And then this idea that the defensive reaction that one gets, or offensive reaction in some cases, which often is where things start, they're already an indication that the child is triggered, as you say, and that there's not going to be a constructive conversation until you can sort of de-escalate things, mm-hmm. or change the focus or find some way to bring the energy level down so that they can get in the thinking part of the brain instead of the reactionary part of the brain.
Yep, yep. So what are you going to do knowing that?
Well, I think I need to figure out more de-escalating ways of talking about things when the reaction is automatically a fight-or-flight reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right. It does, because that's the reality, is that when we get triggered, our kids get triggered, we want to fix it, and we go into reaction mode. And the reality is that job number one is to stay calm, whether it's you or your child, so that you can problem solve together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It's a good aha. Thanks, Cindy. And Marianne, looping back to you.
Yeah, I think for me, as we try to get Derek back towards maybe accepting some options for medication, In the meantime, I really need to pay attention to what things do activate his brain in a positive way. Kind of more of a trial and error. Like I said, he'll start basketball season again next week, and that brings new time management challenges, but it also may be the one thing that, you know, is great for him because he's getting that regular exercise right after school every day at practice. So my big thing is just to pay attention to this next week at what things really do impact him positively in that way versus things that may not.
Great. Awesome. Okay. So we groups are not meeting next week, but there is a lifeline call. And if, for those of you that want to, just a quick reminder, there are two types of calls for these groups. There are our PSS group calls, which are typically every other week. We met 2 weeks in a row this month, which was confusing. But hopefully by the end of this week, there'll be a full schedule for the rest of the year out on the website so you can easily find it. And we'll have the link to that in the Monday emails. But next week is a lifeline call, which is a general Q&A call for anybody in any of our programs. You just dial in. We answer whatever questions come on. And they tend to be a little bit larger groups. And so join us for that call. It's always fun to listen to other people's issues, or, you know, if you have a particular issue or question you want to have answered, Elaine or I can't remember who's in the call, we'll answer them for you. Thank you for being on this week, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. And join us on the Facebook forum if you haven't.
Okay.
Diane, thanks. I had one quick thought, if I could ask you, Diane.
Sure, Martha.
Okay. You know, the whole process, and I understand it, of it's not a good time to talk, and especially like me and my son would both be irritated. But as you said last week, and my husband has gotten this is what he's always reminding me, that my child is an in-the-moment. So if you didn't talk about it and you wanted to bring it up later, would they still be able to react and respond to it? Because I'm wondering if they wouldn't say, more aptly, he would say, I don't know, I don't remember. And
yeah,
that's
my challenge.
Mechanism. So is there anything you can say about when you have to wait?
Well, I think that it's about knowing your child, and it's about knowing what is and isn't reasonable when things are escalated. And I think that sometimes you got to trust that if they don't remember, that maybe it's not that important, and it's something to let slide. If it tends to come up more than often, then you could plant the seed as you're de-escalating. You could say, I can tell you're upset right now, so we aren't going to talk about this, and I want to talk about it tonight after dinner so that they will remember, okay, I've got to stay engaged in this. Sometimes they just don't want to. I think that that's the challenge, is that, you know, it's about figuring out, getting curious, Martha, about why, what is it about it that's, what a part of the conversation is difficult for them? Is it that they're feeling blamed for something they don't feel like they have control of? Is it feeling like, oh, here I am, I'm wrong again, is it a self-esteem issue? Is it an overwhelm issue? Is it an avoidance issue? But just kind of stay in that curiosity space as much as you can, kind of working through it. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.